Hello and welcome to the movie podcast. My name is Shabazz, and of course, I'm one of your lovely hosts. And joining beside me today is, looks like he broke the boundary rules to get a haircut, Daniel. Daniel, how you doing?
Why are you exposing me?
Well, you know, on this, well, it's exposing you and complimenting you.
Let me say it's a legal haircut.
It's an illegal haircut.
No, it's a legal haircut.
How can you say that?
Because it's legal. I was assured that when I was getting it, was legal.
You did your
own hair. Your vaccine card to show
the papers, please?
Legal papers.
No, it's good. I've had this haircut for a couple weeks now, so you can't. From what I understand from the law,
yeah, tell me about it.
You can't arrest somebody for something they did in the past.
You'd be surprised.
You have to be caught in the act. From how I've interpreted the law in my life.
For the past 8 years, I've been undercover this whole time being your friend.
Yes, so if I kill you now,
right,
and no one's there to arrest me when I leave this door, right, I'm scot-free.
You're free. That is how the law works.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the voice of that murderer is Anthony. Anthony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm just plotting at this moment.
So you're thinking about all the crimes you can commit that
based on Daniel's law.
Daniel's also a lawyer. I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah. This is Daniel.
What's your win loss ratio?
I have a great ratio.
More That's losses than wins?
It's the same ratio, the same aspect ratio as the Snyder Cut.
Ooh.
4:3.
That's pretty good then.
It's not bad.
You're doing pretty good, eh? Guys, how are you guys doing this week though? How was this week for you guys?
This week was good. I mean, I'm trying to it feels like a blur right now. I don't know why.
It felt like 2 weeks. I don't know why.
It did feel like 2 weeks. No, but it's been great. I mean, we're getting great shows from Marvel again. You know, it's nice to be back in the Falcon and Winter Soldier world. It's great. It's great. And I think we're heading into some really good movie seasons,
it sounds like it.
It sounds like it from the news today. So I'm excited to finally start watching some big movies. And of course, with Godzilla vs. Kong this week too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy, what about you?
Same. These weeks have just been going. But yeah, it was a good week. Pretty rainy.
Yeah, we got some really nice days here where we're recording where it was nice and sunny.
Yeah.
Super nice. People were outside wearing short shorts and open mouth kissing each other.
Oh, wow.
And then some days it started to rain and get really, really cold. Like, I never knew how to leave in the morning to go to work. I was like, oh, okay, it's a little cold, but I think I'll be fine later.
And then you come home and then it's like sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Plus the time change. Was the time change the following week?
I think so.
Two weeks ago.
I don't know. It's this time period of March and April where you get into spring.
Right.
And the weather is not great, but
once
it's getting
get
there.
May.
Yes. Once well, we hopefully. Hopefully we don't get any snow in May. But yeah, I'm looking forward to new content.
Yes.
Because this week was pretty dry.
Yeah. A little dry. But guess what, guys? As always, you can catch a new episode of the movie podcast, which is never dry, always wet. That's what our motto. Isn't that our motto, Daniel?
Always wet, never dry?
Yeah, always wet, never dry.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the...
I have that on my bumper sticker on my car.
That's Latin,
I think, someone's motto, that's for sure.
We'll have that on our coat of arms when we make one.
Oh, no, we're making a coat of arms.
We're making a coat of arms.
Every Monday, guys, across all your favorite podcast services. And if you want to be a part of the show and give us your comments, suggestions, and corrections, please head on over to @TheMoviePodcast on Instagram and Twitter. And don't forget to write into the show. Tell us what you're watching. Tell us what you like. And maybe if you have some criticism for us, or maybe if you're a lawyer, you can help us out with that question. If you commit a crime and no one's there to see it, are you scot-free?
I'm pretty sure that's no.
It's the same argument. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, did it happen?
Did it happen?
Same thing with committing crimes.
Yeah. If I killed you right now and Daniel wasn't looking,
you've watched like CSI and like crime scene.
I'm not sure what that is.
What CSI?
Where they can like...
How do you say that?
Yeah, how do you say that? Sissy?
Sissy? Is that a new artist?
Is that a new artist? What is that? I haven't heard their album.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know why I hang out with you guys. I don't know.
Andy's just on the
ride.
You're
the one out of all of us that would kill somebody first, though.
Yeah, but see, you wouldn't know. No one would know.
There you go.
So you're scot-free. You're free to go, sir.
Have a nice day. For you guys, no.
Oh, so we're the ones dying. Great.
We're dead, yeah.
Guys.
We'd know.
Guys, just like Anthony's on a run from the law, we are on a run to get 200 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We're getting closer and closer each day. And, you know, thank you to everybody for so far submitting their ratings. Again, if you want to leave us a comment, please be more than welcome to, because we might read it out on the show. We might put it in a video. We might scream it in our cars. Who knows what will happen? But again, let us get to 200 by September so we can get Rotten Tomatoes accredited.
100%.
Yeah, 200% actually.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. We need 200. We're at 115 right now.
We are.
So, I mean, I think our original goal was like, let's hit 100 ratings by our 100th episode. We've far surpassed it. This is episode 98.
This is 98.
This is like the vaccine.
This is the year the Godzilla of 1998 came out.
So you're Biden. What's our goal now?
Our goal is 200 by, I don't know why he has that voice.
What voice is this?
That was my Biden voice. You don't like
but it? But he doesn't have an accent like that either.
You know what? I'll be honest. Every time Biden talks, I don't listen anymore. So.
Yeah. But here's the thing. A boring president is okay with me after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to sleep? You listen to Biden.
Yeah. There you go. Joe Biden. Sleep with Joe. Wait, what voice were you doing?
Sleep with Joe Biden. I was doing a voice.
You're doing the Undertaker right there.
May he rest.
You're going nowhere. Now I'm doing Spider-Man.
Boomsaw's ready. All right, guys. Some announcements.
I love it.
Some announcements before we jump in. People are listening to the show right now going, oh, it's that kind of episode today, huh? The one where they're laughing and giggling.
Shay's hosting today. Everything's going crazy.
Everything's a giggle fest in this place, huh?
What did I call you guys on the Mighty Giggling Ducks? That's what I called you on the Mighty Ducks episode.
It sounded
episode.
A bit like offensive. I don't know if it was.
I was trying to be offensive.
Thank you. Some reviews, guys. We've got the Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 2 review and reaction. This one, we were able to kind of dive a little bit deeper into spoiler territory that we weren't able to do with episode 1. I heard some feedback about episode 1 that, you know, people really wanted us to go deeper into it, but at that time we just couldn't.
Disney came to us and they were like, listen, you talk about anything that happened in this episode that's spoilers,
we'll kill Anthony.
Yeah. And no one will see it, so we'll get away with it.
No, they said, you know. Yeah, they said.
Yeah, so
man a few words. Yeah.
And that's what they just looked at us. That's all we needed.
That's what they said.
But we couldn't in the first episode, obviously, because we were putting our review out early.
Yeah.
Thank you, Disney, for sending it to us, first of all.
Yes.
But yeah, we couldn't get into spoilers for that episode. But now that we're releasing them on day and date for the new episode, we're going all out.
We're going hardcore.
Bonesaw is ready.
Guys, we also have our Mighty Ducks Game Changers episode 1-3 review reaction up as well. This is one that I've been getting a lot of feedback on as well.
Oh, more feedback for you, eh?
Well, a lot of people give me feedback. I don't know why. They're coming up to me in the streets and yelling at me and no masks. But they've been saying, you know what? We were very surprised as to how this show is, and if you listen to our review, you'll understand as well how surprised we were of how good it is as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun show, and I think at the end of the day, yes, it has, you know, silly, you know, tropes in it and stuff like that, but that's what you also want from a Mighty Ducks show. It's comforting, it's familiar. You know, Coach Bombay is a cake eater in it, which is great.
Isn't that like an offensive term?
Yeah, but that's what they used to call him, right?
That's true. They did. Yes,
you know,
they
he's
did.
A cake they eater. Did. You know, and it's just funny that you see him eating cake in the show, and it's great. Honestly, like, we spoke about the first three episodes. Mm-hmm. Same thing. No spoilers.
No spoileritos.
But I'm excited to watch the rest of the show because now we're waiting for the new episodes.
It's true. We also have a review for Nobody Up, which came out last week in theaters.
Nobody. Right?
Was that last week in theaters or this week?
March 26th, which was last week.
Perfect.
Which theaters aren't open yet.
Right. So if you saw it, how? Tell us.
Tell us your secret.
Yeah. Why did you see this damn movie? Because we want to see it again.
Hopefully, I don't know what Universal's going to do in terms of like a PVOD release or... You know, hopefully theaters will open up here in some capacity, but it's a great movie. So definitely, if you find a theater that's open or a drive-in, go watch it.
Yeah. Invincible, also available on Amazon Prime. Episodes 1-3 are a review. Reaction is up for that as well. Zack Snyder's Justice League. We have an hour and a half long discussion about that movie. Great discussion. Great discussion about that film. And we'll definitely dive deeper and deeper into it.
Yes.
We have WandaVision up as well that we finished the whole series. We had our friend Nate from We Are Geek-Centric on our last episode. So huge shout out to him as well. And lots more reviews all over our movie podcast feed. Please go ahead and scroll through and think of all the different movies we watched and be like, oh, wow, they reviewed this. That's amazing. They loved it? Yeah, sure, why not? We also have our interview with Cinema Blend's Sean O'Connell. He is the author of the Release of Snyder Cut book. great book. If you get a chance to read it and also get a chance to listen to our interview, we do a reading of the book on the interview. We don't actually do it.
No, we do a live reading
with
him.
We do a live reading with him. Yeah. We do it kind of in the style of Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
And
Zack Snyder and is Goldilocks.
Zack Snyder said, let me release my Snyder cut.
This movie is too short.
Then Warner Brothers said, this movie is too long. And Joss Whedon said, this movie does not funny enough.
Oh, God. Anthony's just leaving, by the way. I don't even know. Anthony's
still here.
I'm waiting for the joke.
Oh.
Ouch. Guys, we're also affiliates of P-Link. So P-Link, they make smart links for podcasts, and they auto-open in any podcast app on your iOS and Android device. So they send every listener to the right place. If you run a podcast, P-Link is essential and will send your listeners anywhere on any device every time. So check out our show notes for the affiliate code and make sure to give them a look. And if you notice on our social media feeds, our Twitter and Instagram, we always use plink.to/TMP for the movie podcast. It's been super helpful, and I feel like all it's done really is increase engagement with our podcast.
Yeah, it's nice because it's a nice short link, and then it just lets us, you know, still talk a lot about what we want to without taking up as much space in our tweets. So it's great. And what's really cool about it too is when you click on it, if you are like on a computer or anything, you'll have like a list of all the different
A little show summary feeds. And everything.
You could see the show summary, the different episode you want to get to. So there's a lot of options there. We're really happy to be affiliates with them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you again to P-Link, guys. And next week, the week of April 2nd or 3rd, I guess, because
April 5th.
Do weeks start Saturday for people, or do they start Sunday?
But I mean like April 5th, though.
Right.
Would be our traditional episode.
Yes, you're right. We are off that week. Couple of big reasons. A, Jesus. Third reason is Daniel. And fifth reason is... do we have a fifth reason? Not really.
Well,
right?
You're not here either, are you not?
Well, I'm not here, but yeah. But Daniel, it's your birthday that week. You're turning what?
I'm turning 94.
Wow. You don't look a day over 98.
Thank you. And I try. I have my birthday this Friday, actually. Nice. On April, no, sorry, Saturday.
Yeah. I was like, I thought it was Saturday.
Hold on a second.
Hold on.
Saturday. I turn... the big 2-8.
Damn, 2 years to 30.
Yeah, 2 years to 30.
I'm 30 this year. Daniel and Anthony, you're 56 this year, I think.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Anthony just sounded like he just took a big glass of whiskey to us. Pretty much.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, no, so it's fun. And sometimes it lines up like this where it happens over Easter, so I get a nice long weekend as well, too. True. So I'll take it.
You know, I'm here for it. What's interesting, we've gone off for a week or 2 weeks quite a bit sometimes, but now it's so interesting because we have this luxury of recording remotely, and we also have so many reviews and things coming out that... are we really off? Because guaranteed that week, you'll still be seeing some reviews pop up from us.
Yeah, I mean, like this week alone, you're going to get a review for Godzilla vs. Kong. You're going to get a review of The Unholy. You're going to get a review and reaction to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So, I mean, you're still going to hear our voices.
But whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. It just won't be in this hour plus long form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless something like earth-shattering happens, you know, as we always say.
Though, yes.
You know, like I think the last time... it happened
at
the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was like, yeah, we're going to be off for 2 weeks. And then Spider-Man left the MCU and then everything went on fire. Yeah. It's crazy. Great times. Yeah. Great times, guys.
Great times. Let's jump into the news, boys.
Wow. Power.
That was good.
Power.
That was good. Guys, Black Widow and Cruella are hitting Disney Plus Premiere Access and theaters simultaneously. This is coming from Pamela McClintock and Aaron Couch of The Hollywood Reporter. In its biggest pandemic-related streaming move yet, Disney has opted to make Marvel Studios' Black Widow available on Disney Plus Premier Access at the same time it hits theaters. This is ditto for Cruella, another big-budget tentpole. Black Widow is now slated for July 9th, moving back from its previous May 7th date. It will be available to Disney Plus subscribers for an additional $30, and I think in Canada, $35. Disney also announced that Cruella, starring Emma Stone, will debut day-to-day in theaters and on Disney Plus Premiere Access on May 28th. Meanwhile, the animated film Luca will skip theaters entirely and hit Disney Plus on June 18th. No additional fee. The bold move The bold moves underscore the company's aggressive foray into streaming and premium VOD in recent days. Walt Disney CEO Bob Chapek has made it clear that the old rules, I don't know why I said gold, the old rules regarding how movies are distributed in theaters and in home are gone. Disney hasn't released any premiere access numbers for Raya or Mulan, but it's clear they generated enough business for the company to keep experimenting. A number of major circuits, including Cinemark in the U.S., have refused to carry Raya because they wanted more generous terms in exchange for the film playing day and date in theaters and on Disney Plus. It remains to be seen whether the platform repeats itself with Black Widow and Cruella. Guys, what do you think?
Woo-wee! Here's the thing. I didn't think this was going to happen. We knew. I think a show or two ago, I said, or we were talking about, like, a decision's going to be made soon, because usually a month before release is when it really starts ramping up in marketing.
Right.
And right on the money, we called it that Disney made that decision. And I think they made the best decision possible, where it's like, yes, it's going to come to theaters in July. So it gives more people to get vaccinated if they want to feel safer going to the theaters, right? That's an extra 2 months later. Also, it gives people who don't want to go to the theaters a chance to watch it at home. Mm. And, you know, obviously we can't keep pushing off the MCU. You know, Disney is on a... Marvel Studios is on a timeline with their schedule and everything. They want this movie out. And obviously it shifted a bunch of other movies, which we'll talk about later. But it's a great decision. And I'm really happy Disney made it. And I like that, you know, like, it's been a year of us being like... Literally, it's been a year of us being like, oh, what's going to happen? I wish they would just put it on Disney Plus or do this, but... I think for this decision to come now, it's smart, and I'm here for it. I think they made the right moves, and again, it just solidifies Disney Plus as being such a great
powerhouse
of content. I mean, it went from being the streaming service that I jumped into to watch some like nostalgic stuff, but now I'm in it like maybe every single day or multiple times a week, either watching the new shows and doing that, you know, and Star. Like it's really come into its own. It's a strong streaming service.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, what are your thoughts on Cruella moving there without really... I mean, we just really finally got Cruella's trailer recently, and all of a sudden now we're hearing that, hey, it's being pushed there, that, and also by Black Widow.
It's a smart move. I'm no executive, but I've been saying it a lot that they should be releasing it on both platforms, you know, theater and at home, especially now because their subscriber rate is... jumped up to like 100 million. So you're going to make money no matter what. And for Disney, they're as a company, their biggest worry is not how it's going to do in theaters. Their biggest worry is like how we can financially make money for these movies with the platforms that we have. And using Disney Plus as that platform as well as theaters is a smart move.
So, definitely.
And it's giving the availability for movies, for their movies to be seen everywhere. There are places in the world that don't have theaters, but they might have a digital box with Disney Plus on it.
Yeah.
That's very common, especially in rural areas. So it's like, what, $30, $35. So they're making more on a stream based on, we'll say, smaller areas that don't have theaters than they would if, you know, that theater was open or they had to travel to that theater.
I think what's nice about it, too, is that it kind of puts everybody on a level playing field. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in the sense where it's like, look at us right now with Godzilla versus Kong, right? Mm. This whole time we are told it's going to be a theater release, theatrical only. But in the States, you get theaters and it's on HBO Max for no additional cost. Mm-hmm. And then that goes for any Warner Brothers movie where it's like, you know, the States, they're only paying an HBO Max fee, where here we have to pay the $30 to rent it, which is fine. We get access to it. But I mean, with Premier Access, at least, you know, anybody who wants to watch it worldwide has to pay that.
Right.
And as nice it would have been for it just to be on the service for free, you know, they also need to make money too, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like, oh, like corporate apologists, but it's like, that's just a business, right? At the end of the day, this is a business for them, right?
And this would have been a easy billion-dollar film.
Right. So I think it's smart. I mean, anybody who wants to watch it in any country, it's going to be that amount of money. They have access to it, no problem. And you could watch it in theaters if you want to.
Yeah, so, no one's saying that it's not going to be in theaters.
No. Right.
And then theaters saying, well, we're not going to play it because, you know, you're not giving us, you know,
a better cut of stuff.
That's the game we're going to play right now. That is not the game. That is just the world we live in.
Right.
And it sucks that theaters have been put in this position, but if I was a business like Disney, this is the right move.
Correct.
Right. This is the right move.
And you're right. Theaters, I don't think theaters are in a spot right now that they could afford to be picky of what movies they say yes and no to.
Right.
Right? Theaters need movies to be playing.
They need revenue.
So hopefully that gets, hopefully we'll still have a chance to watch in theaters. Because again, if I get to watch this in theaters, awesome. But the fact that I could watch it at home, even better.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll still watch it at home and watch it at a theater.
100%.
You're giving me a choice rather than saying, no, you can only watch it in theater.
Because like at the end of the day, like my family, who I usually like, we'll usually go opening night or for screeners or whatever, and then I'll take my family to go. But if my family's maybe not in the mood to go to the theater that weekend, I could spend $30 and we could watch it at home.
Yeah. So what do you guys have to say to people who, I know a lot of movie theaters in the States, they charge maybe like $9 to watch a movie, maybe even less sometimes. And I've seen a lot of people go, wow, $30, you know, US, that's so much money. What are your thoughts on that?
Listen, I mean, I tweeted about it this week that I said, you know, I honestly believe that movie tickets are underpriced for what we get. I mean, I think back to the days of, luckily, not when I was buying movies, but, you know, when movies first started coming out on VHS, they were like $100.
It was crazy
how to own a movie.
Yeah.
It's that. And when you think about it, it's like, you know, I buy movies for $4.99, $10 now on iTunes. And it's like, that's mine, like, forever now, or like or Blu-ray, whatever. Like, you own that movie, you could watch it at any time. And it's such an interesting thing that's cheap. And I get things are all relative to how much you want to pay for it, but I mean, when you're going to a movie theater and you're paying a certain amount, like, yes, you're paying that because you're going to escape to the movie, but you're also paying that to support the theater, to support the movie, all of that. It's just, I don't know, like $15, $20 to watch a movie. I mean, if you always make time for the things you care about, and you always will pay for things that you see are valuable to you. Mm. Right. So I never, like, we went to the movies like 50 times a year before the pandemic. So it's like, I never thought of it as, whenever I bought a movie ticket, I never went like, oh, that's expensive.
I've never done that.
You know, it was just, no, this is when I'm paying for something I care about, you know, maybe we're in the minority for that, but
we might be, because, you know, they're banking on families to visit these theaters to spend that money. And I think at some points it could be super expensive for families to
definitely
go to a theater, and it might make it worthwhile for them to watch it at home for that
matter, sure,
because they could get like six, you know, seven kids.
They could pause it. They could do whatever you want.
People have, but like
seven kids.
Six, damn. Seven, eight kids.
Just pop them out. Poor
future wife, eh? Yeah.
No, I don't even want kids. Oh.
Damn. No, but like it's expensive for sure.
It is.
And for big families, you know, $30, you get to watch it as many times as you want. You could pause it. You could come back to it. You're not on a timeline. I think the way Disney's doing rentals is cool, where it's different compared to, you know, other, like when I look at iTunes or Apple TV, when you're renting something, you have 48 hours to watch it once you've hit play, where Disney Plus is like, no, you're keeping this forever still.
It's just, you get literally like VIP access to it.
Yeah, which is nice. That
premium access.
Yeah, and it's yours. And I dig that, because if it was something that disappeared, people, I think, would be a lot less likely to do it. But now that it's yours, like, you could watch whenever you want.
With Wonder Woman 1984, we spend, what, $30 to watch it?
Yeah,
more with taxes, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, it was... Nothing against the movie, but that option of losing out on owning this kind of sucked, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It was just me that watched it.
Right. And that's the thing. It's a lot of money to rent and not have it after. I know iTunes does that deal. Like, we saw that deal.
Yeah, we discovered that deal the other day.
Where you get like a $10 credit.
15, I think.
Is it 15?
I think it was 15.
Not bad.
Credit.
I mean,
not it's bad.
Not bad. If you've rented Wonder Woman, essentially, you'll get like and if you buy it on iTunes, you get like a $15 iTunes credit back, which, I mean, it's pretty cool.
And the movie was $24.99.
Right.
Right?
Which is not bad.
Not bad.
But it's also like that film. Yeah, if you like that film.
Yeah.
But it's also more expensive than just buying it or having on HBO Max.
Right. Now, obviously, this date switch around really has caused a lot of shift in movies for Disney as well. So Marvel's Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings is now going to be opening September 3rd. This moves back from its previous date of July 9th. Man, I'm really hoping we get a trailer soon, because if this is a July 9th release, this and Eternals, like, I've seen nothing yet.
It's crazy that we're supposed to have Eternals before Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Right? And now we have to be getting a trailer soon.
We have to be.
Right? Luca is going to be on Disney Plus, no additional cost. Right?
I heard that, yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we didn't talk about
it. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
It's nuts.
Like, that's a nice trade-off, right?
Like, yeah. For the Italians.
You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Anthony's excited about that one the most.
Yeah, I am. I
Luca
am.
Looks great.
Luca does look great, yeah.
I think in the long run, this is what Disney will do. They're not going to go back from this. Once they're in, they're in. Every single movie, strategically, it makes sense for them to do this.
I think they're going to either continue doing it day and date,
yeah,
or they may introduce, okay, after 2 weeks,
yeah,
premiere access is there. Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised either.
No. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think they'll just do day and date.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Yeah,
just because, why not?
They have
100 million subscribers.
Obviously, there's a lot smarter people at Disney right now that are calculating all the numbers. If they're working it out, they're like, yeah, you know what? By having this many people rent it, we're actually coming out on top than having a cut from the theater. So, like,
which is less than what?
Which I think Disney will always want to have the big screen experience, of course.
Yeah,
but I think they're going to be more selective of. There, I don't think they're going to have as much of a bias. Like if they had Avengers Endgame coming out this year,
yeah,
I don't know if they would do premiere access. I don't know. I don't know.
But
I honestly don't know.
Would it make sense to have it on both? It does. It just automatically does because I don't have to cut the theater in anymore. And that's a huge chunk because the theater takes more money than the studio does. Correct?
I don't think so.
I think there's a big chunk that the theater.
There's definitely a big chunk. Whatever that chunk is, Disney could be like, yeah, maybe we don't have to share that big chunk anymore. Yeah. That big chunk's our big chunk.
And I don't really. Companies will say yes, or these studios will say yes. We want to be on big picture, big screen, big sound, all that. But they need to make more money. And
it's a business.
And it's just money. So if they're making more money on smaller screens, because they have abundancy of screens.
Sure. It may work out better for them, right?
It works out. And even if I own Disney, I would do that. I'm like, sorry, theater goers.
Yeah.
You're still gonna watch it.
You have the option still.
You have the option.
Still have the option. Yeah. I'm not taking away from you. But
And realistically too, like if we were to go see like Black Widow opening night in theaters, we'd probably see it the day before. As it usually happens with movies opening, we'd see the Thursday night.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Right?
Yes.
And then it wouldn't be added to Disney Plus until midnight Pacific Standard Time. So we'd still be, people who see it in the theaters would still technically be seeing it
still
first.
Have a bit more premiere access.
Right? So they may do things like that. Like, oh, you could go see it in the theater starting Wednesday.
And then
premiere access Friday.
Yeah.
No, so
that's definitely
They're probably looking at all of those options, right?
And of course, we have the 20th Century Fox deal, so we have movies like Ryan Reynolds' Free Guy that's going to be hitting 3 months later now, August 13th. The King's Man, this movie's been
eight different release dates.
Crazy. This is like the new, not even the new, I think this is worse than
Bond.
New Mutants.
New Mutants, yeah.
Right?
It's up there with New Mutants.
Yeah, yeah. It's just moved back 4 months now to December 22nd.
I don't think it's going to stick that date either.
I don't think so either.
I think it's going to change.
Adrian Lin's Deep Water moves to January 14th, 2022, and Kenneth Branagh's Death on the Nile is moving back 5 months to February 11th. Also an interesting film because it is marketed as an Armie Hammer movie, so.
Right.
Ooh.
Right, but it's interesting.
Is the Death on the Nile him eating somebody?
Oh God, damn. I'm curious though with these Fox movies, like why they probably have agreements in play that they can't put it to streaming, similar to like the X-Men deal,
yeah,
where it was like, yeah, like it has to go to HBO Max or HBO. We have a deal with them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because like Free Guy and King's Man, I think Disney would be like 100% just put it on the service.
Just put it on, yeah. Not even premiere access. Yeah. I don't think they would even do that. I think it would be straight up just release.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that we haven't heard anything, but there's probably pre-existing deals in place.
Which sucks.
Also, with premiere access as well, I believe that they have to charge something because of the way the contracts work with actors.
Yeah.
Something like Pixar, they don't really have those type of deals with actors, with the voice actors, so... That's probably why they'll have to charge for premiere access.
Yeah,
why some things go premiere, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Next story?
Yes.
Is Pierce Brosnan is coming back as 007. And that's a lie. He's not coming back as 007. He's been cast as Dr. Fate, which sounds like a 007 villain, in Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam. Now, this is coming from Elise Schaefer of Variety. Damn, are you okay?
I'm just looking at you reading this, man.
You're staring into my soul right now.
I'm Dr. Fading you right now.
Dr. Fading me. Pierce Brosnan is taking on his first role as a superhero. The actor has been cast as Dr. Fate in DC and New Line's Black Adam alongside Dwayne Johnson, who is playing the titular role. Dr. Fate, also known as Kent Nelson, is a founding member of the Justice Society, who gains superhero through putting on the magical helmet of fate. The casting of Brosnan Brosnan, completes the lineup for the Justice Society of America, with Aldous Hodge playing Hawkman, Noah Centineo playing Adam Smasher, and Quintessa Swindle taking on Cyclone. Black Adam is directed by Jaume Collet-Serra, who also directed Johnson in Disney's Jungle Cruise, or as it's also known as Jungle Cruise.
That's another movie that we don't even know
I totally forgot about Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, Jungle Cruise never came out.
What's going on with that?
They didn't say anything.
They've been quiet on Jungle Cruise.
Is it on their release schedule? I'll take a look.
It probably is.
That was supposed to come out last March.
Take a look into it.
Was it last March?
Last summer.
Last summer. Right?
May or March, yeah. While Daniel looks into
that. It still says July 30th.
Oh, this year?
So, we'll see. Well, you know what it is? We'll probably get news of it closer to the time, right? Yeah. Disney's probably like, if we could keep it there, cool. If not, then we'll move it.
This is also in that area of Black Widow where they're hoping they've got enough vaccines out there.
Right, right.
Because I guess U.S. is the only market they really care about.
Right. It was supposed to come out for October 11th, 2019 before being moved to July 24th, 2020. And now it is scheduled for July 30th, 2021.
Yeah. Anthony, what are your thoughts on Mr. Brosnan?
I like Pierce. Fate? Why not? Let's put him in a costume. I think he's a great actor. I'm interested to see how Dr. Fate is portrayed on the screen, what his tie-in with, you know, Black Adam is, because he does come from the original DC universe, you know, that Justice Society where it was the Flash was Jay Garrick and there was another type of Green Lantern. So I kind of like that, the old age superhero story, before Superman and before Wonder Woman. So yeah, I'm interested to see if where they go with it and if it ties into The Flash. Maybe. Who knows?
I have a feeling it won't. is Black Adam New Line?
Yeah, it probably would be.
It's interesting because the director of Shazam, of course, Shazam and Black Adam, David. Famous for like fighting against one another. David Sandberg said, like, yeah, he doesn't really know what's going on with Black Adam, which is strange to me because he directed Shazam and is directing Shazam 2, and you would hope that these characters would be fighting one another eventually, but...
It is New Line, yes.
I also can't picture Zachary Levi going up against Dwayne Johnson, you know, as Shazam and...
Well, they'll eventually have to.
You would think. But I also don't think Warner Brothers is thinking that far out, unfortunately. But I'm here for Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate's an awesome character. You know, Helms called like Naboo or something like that, and it's cool. I mean, I wonder how much we'll see him with the helmet off, which is just strange to me because it's like it'll definitely be like either like a stunt double working the whole time, and then he'll have one scene where he takes the helmet off and like, oh, it's Pierce Brosnan. Or he'll just be voicing him.
But... I'm hearing his voice right now, and I'm like, man, Pierce Brosnan's got that voice. It's just very distinct.
Yeah, and Dr. Fate is also like an asshole as well. Yeah. So I think Pierce could like pull that off.
Yeah, like a smug.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's nice to know this movie is actually happening. But again, it's like, where does this fit in the whole DC world? I don't know.
Who knows?
Is this part of the Snyderverse? Is this part of... Where is this landing?
No, it's not landing anywhere.
Why does New Line have Black Adam?
I don't know.
It's usually for them, from what I understand, they're able to give it less of a budget that way. New Line films usually have less
because
of a budget.
Because that's their independent...
Their lower budget... big films. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like Shazam was New Line. Mm-hmm. Like New Line, you usually see like Warner Brothers and New Line because like Warner Brothers owns, or I guess AT&T, I guess, owns New
Time
Line,
Warner, right? Yeah.
So it's very strange.
Yeah.
Because like, even Shazam didn't have like the DC opening and stuff, right?
No, but I remember David Sandberg said that he just forgot, which is also.
But
weird.
I mean, like, did he forget though? That's a weird thing to forget.
Like, it's like, this wasn't one guy like, hey, what about that opening? In the beginning.
He's like, yeah, well, remind me.
The DC one, the one that represents everything we're talking about
today. The character that is coming from.
Shazam.
Yeah. It's strange.
What I find strange is because...
Doctor Strange.
Yes. Dwayne is such a... Like, he brings in money. So right. Why go New Line with him?
Yeah.
Why go New Line? Why did he even choose New Line? Like, why did he not push for this to be a bigger movie for himself? Because he's pretty, like... outgoing in that sense that
he has his hand in the plot lot,
and he has his fan base, and he does look like Black Adam.
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense financially for Warner Brothers not to give him a bigger budget just based on the success of his previous movies, as well as Shazam being
I feel
a
like,
huge movie on its own.
I feel like Black Adam's still going to have like a pretty substantial budget. But I don't know why some films go there. Some like Mortal Kombat's also going to be New Line. Mm-hmm. You know, usually their horror movies are all New Line as well too.
But it would make sense strange. With Mortal Kombat, you know? Not with a
Mortal Kombat, Johnson. The first one was also New Line as well.
Film.
Yeah.
The OGs.
So it just could be like a licensing too.
Yeah.
You know, it could be how the licensing of the character was.
I wonder why Shazam. That's
what I don't know. That's very strange.
Warner Brothers owns. They bought him, like, I think Shazam...
Shazam may have different rights to it, right? Like, they may have a deal where it still has to be released under New Line. Or, I mean, like, I think of Marvel. Disney bought Marvel in 2009, I believe. And, you know, you look at Iron Man 2 still has the Paramount banner on it.
Yep.
Iron Man 3 still has a Paramount banner, and that's 2013. Avengers still has a Paramount banner on it.
Yeah.
I think they may have, like, there could be these rules in place that they have to do it, right?
Place, yeah.
Just like how we spoke about, like, New Mutants had to go to, if it goes to streaming, it goes to HBO.
Yeah.
So it could be like these little deals that they arrange. I don't know. I could just be talking out of my butt.
Yeah. You could be talking out of your butt. I mean, this is cool. Yeah. I like Pierce Brosnan. I like, you know, I like seeing him back in big films because he's been doing some weird ones lately. So,
yes.
So please, yeah, let's bring him back into the limelight.
Be cool. It'll be cool to see this character.
Yeah.
Hopefully it looks cool.
Yeah. And I think The Rock or Dwayne Johnson, he showed a little bit of the script on his Instagram feed the other day.
That he was looking
really
at.
Interesting. Like, well, you're just letting us all in.
I think Dr. Fate is, again, it's one of those things where it's like, it just looks like now DC's copying Marvel because, like, Dr. Strange, Dr. Fate, like, very similar looking characters, how they look with magic and everything too. So
the juxtaposition on that, you know, like, DC created this character before Doctor Strange, and now, you know, at that time, Marvel was copying DC, but now in the cinematic universe,
it's the other way around. On film and television, it's the other way around.
Just like, who am I thinking about? Deadpool, right? Like, Deathstroke came first, Wade Wilson, and then Deadpool came Wade Wilson as, like, a parody to Deathstroke.
Yeah.
And now Deadpool is...
You said dead so many times, I don't even know what you're saying anymore.
I'm dead.
Next story we got here, guys, is Sony and PlayStation Productions are developing a Ghost of Tsushima movie with John Wick's Chad Stahelski directing. This is coming from Justin Kroll of Deadline. Sony Pictures and PlayStation Productions are developing a film adaptation of the hugely successful action-adventure game Ghost of Tsushima, with Chad Stahelski attached to direct. The game recently crossed a massive milestone of selling over 6.5 million copies since its July 2020 debut. The game is developed by Sucker Punch Productions and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment and centers around a samurai warrior named Jin Sakai, the last surviving member of his clan who must set aside the traditions that have shaped him as a warrior. You ready?
No, I'm just laughing. I'm so sorry, because when I was typing in Dr. Fate... When I was typing in, sorry, I was looking up to see when Dr. Fate was published. It was 1940. And then when I was typing in Dr. Strange, I actually put an S. So it was like Senor Strange. And I was just like laughing at it in my head.
Senor Strange.
Senor Strange.
Back to the story there. Jin Sakai, the last surviving member of his clan, who must set aside the traditions that have shaped him as a warrior to wage an unconventional war for the freedom of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima is PlayStation 4's fast-selling title, first-party original IP debut, and selling more than 2.4 million units worldwide in its first 3 days. The game was one of the top nominees of the Game Awards 2020 with several nominations, including Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, and Best Performer for Daisuke Tsuji. Sucker Punch Productions will serve as executive producers, and Peter King is overseeing the project on behalf of the studio. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I love it. Obviously, like, we all loved Ghost of Tsushima last year. We all platinum the game. We all have, like, 100 hours in that game. It's absolutely phenomenal, and I think about going back and replaying it all the time because it was just so damn good. I love this, and I love that Sony's in a spot right now where we're like, yeah, you know what? Let's start making movies off of these IPs. And yes, granted, Ghost of Tsushima is a newer IP, but it doesn't mean it's any less worth having a movie made after it, right? So 6.5 million people bought it, and not only that, over 50% of people have completed it.
Yeah,
it's which is amazing.
Best completion rates.
So, like, that, for an open world game, that's, like, nearly unheard of, and I think this is awesome. And you know, to have like a director coming in who is like John Wick, known for like stunts and stuff like that. This could be really cool. Yeah. And you know, obviously I wish Uncharted was in the same vein where, you know, Sucker Punch is involved for Ghost and Naughty Dog is involved for Last of Us and HBO. I wish Uncharted was also kind of looked after that way too.
I thought Neil was somewhat involved.
Neil gave like a thumbs up.
Yeah.
But they're not as involved making it as, because Uncharted has been in development for like 10 years, right?
Yeah, that's also
dude, true. Mark Wahlberg went from playing Nate to playing Sully.
Yeah.
That's how long that's this true. Movie was that's in development true, for. Yeah. So it's like, I wish that this was being made with the same kind of like
attention
and like studio backing it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm just happy that this is happening. This is awesome. This is really cool.
Anthony.
Yeah. Super excited.
Man, a few words like Jin Sakai.
My biggest problem is not a problem. It's just, it's hard for me to really be excited for a movie that's already a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%.
Right? It's
for sure,
a game
for sure.
That sometimes I look at it and I think, man, you can't make this movie. You can't make this into a movie because it is a movie. It's a cinematic masterpiece.
So much of it comes from playing it and seeing the cinematography and the camera angles and all that, right?
And just the story and the hours of story that's involved. And I just kind of think, how are they going to put that in a 2-hour screen and just the budget? But I'm always down for video game movies. I've never found a movie better than the game itself.
No.
Because I find that, you know, games are the evolution of movies in a sense.
Definitely.
And they're getting better every year with the storylines that they tell. But yeah, I hope that they do it justice and they do the cast right and the director right. And I'm just thinking about that whole game and the sequences and the beauty of it.
There's three acts of that game.
Yeah.
They're so wild. Like, they're so big. How are you going to... Exactly, you said put that into 2 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty ambitious for them, but why not? Let's do it. Let's make some money.
I'm looking at a list. This is from Game Rant of movie games that are better than the movie they're based on, and it's an interesting list because X-Men Origins Wolverine is on there, which I 100% agree with. Awesome game.
Oh, yeah.
Much better than the movie.
So much better.
Scarface, The World is Yours? I don't think so.
You think that the game is better than the movie?
Yeah. The Warriors? I mean, sure.
But these are like...
Ratchet and Clank, the 2016 one, yes.
Yes.
For sure, because the game was great. Toy Story 3, are you fucking kidding me? Get the fuck out of here with this list.
Who wrote this list?
I don't know. Peter Jackson's King Kong? I mean, sure.
Yeah, but these are also not like... games based on...
No, these are games based on movies, not movies based on games.
Yeah. So it's interesting that that's there. I mean, yes, like you guys said, like video game movies have never been good, really. Like, I can't think of one that stood out to me. Like, I think the only one that I somewhat found a little bit of enjoyment was Tomb Raider with Alicia Vikander. And then I remember when we went to go see shortly before, it was Assassin's Creed with Michael Fassbender. And that whole movie took place in present day. And I was like, why the fuck would you do this?
Awful.
It makes absolutely no sense. It makes absolutely zero sense, the decisions they make sometimes. So the reason why I'm excited about these Sony and PlayStation production films is it feels like this is them trying to take it seriously by involving these creators. Again, I don't think, Uncharted is a part of that. But everything they've announced after, like The Last of Us TV show, Ghost of Tsushima, and there's a few more, I think, that were coming out. I'm very curious, and I'm very excited.
Damn, Assassin's Creed movie was 2016, eh? Mm-hmm. And then Tomb Raider was March 2018.
Oh, wow, two years.
So it was like almost 2 years.
It felt very close, though.
They do, yeah. Mortal Kombat's coming up.
Yeah,
Hopefully it's great.
Looks great.
Hopefully it's great. New Line as well.
New Line. More Brothers. All right, guys. Next story here we got is Comic-Con plans in-person convention on Thanksgiving weekend 2021. This is coming from Meredith Warner of Variety. San Diego Comic-Con is returning in 2021 as a special edition gathering. Despite recent news that the massive pop culture convention would be going virtual in July, plans for the fall gathering have moved forward. Comic-Con International has announced their plans to hold on an in-person convention in 2021. The three-day event titled Comic-Con Special Edition will take place over Thanksgiving weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 26th to the 28th at the San Diego Convention Center. It is our hope that by fall, conditions will permit larger public gatherings, the announcement said. Comic-Con Special Edition will be the first in-person convention produced by the organization since Comic-Con 2019, and the first since the onset of the global pandemic COVID-19. The fall event will allow the organization to highlight all the great elements that make Comic-Con such a popular event each year, as well as generate much-needed revenue not only for the organization, but also for local businesses and the community. Anthony, what are your thoughts on Comic-Con going Thanksgiving?
From what I've been hearing, a lot of people don't like it because it is happening during a huge...
It's a huge American holiday.
A huge American holiday. A lot of travel. A lot of families are going to be reuniting, I guess, for the first time in a while by that time. And it doesn't make sense for them to put it on at that time. When I read it and we talked about it in our chat, it just didn't seem right to fit it in a holiday, during a holiday period. And truthfully, it could be done a lot sooner than that. Maybe in October before the Christmas or Thanksgiving week. But then again, I keep thinking, like, what are they going to show during this Comic-Con? Who's going to be there? Who, like, what is this, the, you know, the death of Comic-Con? I kind of think it is, in a sense. Just as
it's going towards that.
Yeah, just as an individual business, I would rather have my own content released during a web stream or maybe my own live conference than have this idea of an event where everyone goes and, you know, buys tickets to see Screed, like these series that might be coming out. I don't know. It's an old way of thinking compared to what we've seen last year and how it was so open for us.
Yeah.
Especially with DC fandom.
Yeah. Daniel, what about you?
I think it's a very strange decision in all honesty with, one, you know, the pandemic is still going to be happening. So whatever space that they're going to be in, they're obviously not going to have the amount of people that they would normally have, right? You're also dealing with vendors and all these shops and all of these things that usually take time off for Thanksgiving to be with family. And now they're going to be like, okay, let's now ship off all of our stuff from our store or whatever shop we're doing to be at Comic-Con. And again, it's during a pandemic still, during Thanksgiving weekend, which is like the busiest weekend for travel. I just think this is such a dumb decision by Comic-Con to do this. And I'm just really curious to why the reasoning was for this weekend. Because even if it was a week before, I would still be like, yeah, you know what? They're trying to do an in-person event. Let's see if it sticks. But like to do it on this weekend.
It's so specific.
It's very strange. And like, are you banking on people having time off? Because like people having time off are probably, like Anthony said, wanting to reunite with their family that they haven't been able to hang out with, right? It's a very, very weird decision to me. And I think it's just not thought out properly.
I think the risk for it is also pretty big too. I mean, again, I don't know how things in the United States are kind of going right now with people reacting to these events, but maybe by then people will be itching so hard to go to Comic-Con that they won't care about Thanksgiving. But I also doubt that because they love Thanksgiving.
Right. But also like what Anthony was saying, what's going to be there? DC fandom is probably going to be a thing this year.
Hopefully.
Marvel's already released all of their big shows that are going to be coming out.
Yeah.
If they show something, it's going to be at a Disney event, like a Disney Investor Day again in December.
Which is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Which was amazing. Like, I'm like, why wasn't this live streamed everywhere? Because that was such a great event.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully they do it this year. But it's just strange to me. Like, what's going to be there? Just random shows? Comic-Con was a major failure last year during the summer. And they're still doing the summer event. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is this event just going to be stuff to buy stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a very strange decision to do this. And why not just wait till the spring or wait till you could do it properly the year following or do it another week that's not friggin' Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah, and as a vendor, like, is it worth the risk of, you know, packing up all your stuff, going to this Comic-Con event to hopefully, you know, make some money? Because I know a lot of vendors look forward to Comic-Con to make their ass load of money during that time period. But is it worth the risk of doing all that with COVID and also getting the chance to not be with your family during Thanksgiving? It's just so many red flags.
It's just such a strange decision. It's a very weird decision.
It's your family or Comic-Con.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, Comic-Con's going to win that battle.
And I don't buy the argument either that, like, you know, people's like, yeah, you know what? People always miss out on, like, family stuff because of Comic-Con and different events. I'm like, sure. But Comic-Con specifically is always sometime in July. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a
summer event.
That's a summer event. Having it in November, again, and on the busiest friggin' time to travel in the States, that's just a bonehead decision to me.
Mm-hmm. Very.
I'm telling you, it's the death of Comic-Con. There's no need for it anymore. And it's sad, but it is true because, you know, things have changed.
It really feels like a nail in the coffin so far.
What do you go to Comic-Con for? Comic books? What, to see new artists?
Yeah, because even now it's like all the panels and stuff, like we're in an age, just like you guys are saying, like we having these events are such hype moments now that they make their own media events for it.
And here's the thing, Marvel and DC are so big that even if they wanted to do a Comic-Con event style in person, they'd be able to gain that
for
traction.
Sure. 100%.
They're that big.
If there was a DC fandom event in person this year, I think you'd have a lot of people showing up.
Yeah.
If Marvel decided so the last Marvel event that was, obviously they were at Comic-Con a couple of years ago, then they had their D23, but I remember Marvel put on a specific event in 2014 and they invited people to watch. They invited press and they invited fans to go. It was a free event. That's the event where they announced Captain America Civil War, Black Panther, Infinity War, Part 1 and Part 2, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. They announced all these major films that were coming out for 5 years from now. And people loved that. That was such a big moment. And I think people like owning the moment instead of struggling and fighting with a bunch of other million news events happening at the same time, right? Correct. Especially in that same entertainment umbrella.
Mm. This argument could also apply to E3.
Same
scenario.
And I feel like it's already been going that way with PlayStation pretty much now focusing on their own events. Nintendo really also not having much of a footprint there either.
No, I mean, Nintendo is at E3, but they have their own, they'll have presence there with stuff that you could play.
Yeah.
But they've been doing Nintendo Direct since 2014. Yeah. They don't do live shows.
Really, the only one they have there is Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to some quick updates. We have a sound for quick updates.
Quick!
Oh, is that it?
That's so far. Quick!
Bo Burnham to play Larry Bird and Jason Segel to play Paul.
Did you say Lady Bird?
No, Larry Bird.
Okay,
Larry Bird.
I'm a Lady Bird.
Bo Burnham is playing Lady Bird in the remake for Lady Bird. And Bo Burnham is going to be playing Larry Bird, and Jason Segel will be playing Paul. What's his name?
Westhead.
Paul Westhead. Sorry, the notification blocked my screen. In HBO's 1980s LA Lakers series. This has got a stacked cast. There's a lot more out there, so please go and check out HBO and Variety for all that information. Keanu Reeves will be starring and producing in Berserker, which is a live-action film and anime series for Netflix. That's how you gotta say it. Come on.
It's a great comic book series. I read the first issue. Really enjoying it.
Wicked. We got some trailers.
Trailers.
That was great. Guys, we got the trailer for Stowaway, which is a Prime Canada Netflix States series. Them, which is on Prime Video. The Nevas, which is on HBO Max. Suicide Squad and the United States of Al.
Let's talk about the Suicide Squad first.
Yes.
Let's start with the positive. This trailer is bugging awesome.
Fucking awesome.
Really cool. I mean, this is James Gunn through and through.
He's unhinged.
This is, again, thank you to all those piece of shit fans, not fans, piece of shit people who tried to get him fired from Marvel.
Yeah.
Because they got him this movie and then he's still giving us Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So thank you for that. Looks great. Honestly, this looks so much cooler than the 2016 Suicide Squad that felt like a Hot Topic type movie. No offense to Hot Topic, but
no offense to David Ayer. I think he had an idea, and I think Warner Brothers really kind of got in his way.
Sure. And here's the thing. I'd love to see the Ayer cut one day, you know? Would love to see what it could have been, but I don't think it would have been much different from what we got.
It just takes place in California.
Yeah, South Central LA.
South Central LA.
Yeah, it's mostly focused on the flame guy. What was his name?
Yeah.
El Explodo.
El Diablo.
Yeah, it was Diablo. Yeah, you're right.
You were very close.
You were far off.
Damn it.
No, but it looks great. I mean, Idris Elba, Margot Robbie. You have a stacked cast. Joel Kinnaman. John Cena. I love the character posters that they came out for it. Yes. That literally the tagline for this movie is, "Don't get too attached."
Yeah.
And it literally looks exactly like the '70s comic book covers And James Gunn said he was inspired. I'm blanking on the name of the writer right now, but from his run, it looks exactly like it's coming from that.
Yeah.
And you love to see that. Yeah. That's really cool. It looks like the most inspired comic book movie we've seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like fun.
I like the King Shark. That's the one thing I really liked about this trailer was King Shark.
Stallone, man.
And finding out Sylvester Stallone is voicing King Shark. Yeah. But he looked really good. Like animation-wise and just CG-wise, it looked really good.
That's funny. James Gunn said that he wanted him to have like a dad bod instead of having like the hammerhead shark with his eyes. So it's cool. It just looks fun.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of fun, and it's rated R. Like they're going for it, and it's going to be James Gunn and his most James Gunn, and
yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. And the one I want to talk about is United States of Al.
Please.
This is a CBS All Access show from Chuck Lorre. And honestly, I had never been more offended, I think, watching a commercial. And I'm literally not offended at all. I'm so easily not offended. I don't give a shit about most things and that would come on TV but when I watched this, it's a show about a American soldier who comes home and then his translator from Afghanistan comes to go live with him. And the portrayal of this Muslim Afghani character was just so offensive. I tried to not be offended about it. I tried to keep going like, no, it's just a show. They don't mean it. Just move on. But man, it is awful. The actors are awful. The comedy is painful to look at. They make jokes about, you know, him not being able to drink beer because he's Muslim. And then he's such a fish out of water, but he's got this like weird Swedish accent instead of an Afghani one. But obviously, because it's an American audience, they can't do an Afghani accent because then probably they'll be like, oh, who that Afghani Muslim on that television right there? So I was just so blown away by the content of this television show, by the fact that it's actually coming out. And I pray that it gets canceled. I pray that no one gets to watch this because fuck everybody that made this show, because honestly, it's ridiculous to see it. Because wow, how could you make something like this? It looks so bad. It looks like more of an insult to comedy than it does to my people. I'm not even Afghani, but as a Muslim. And also, like, why do this show? What is it about? Like the jokes that he's cracking, it gave me this like they portray him more as an alien than they do as a human. This character doesn't come off as a person to me. He comes off like Alf. And it's such a weird decision that they did that. And man, fuck Chuck Lorre. I don't think you should be making television shows anymore because my God, this is horrendous to look at. And I'm sorry that this was so offensive and I was so angry, but I don't think I've ever been this passionate about something that I've seen before.
When this trailer came out, I asked you, I'm like, do you want to just have like a, yeah, just go off on, yeah, it? And I'm glad you did. I think for all the reasons you said, you know, when I watched this trailer, this looks like the type of show that would be dated in like 2007.
Easy.
And it would be one of those shows that would, like, it'd be one of those random shows that you would watch a YouTube video about one day. Like, hey, remember 2007? There was two episodes that were greenlit, like two episodes, and it was canceled after its third episode or, yeah, something like that. You'd watch something like doing like a, like, oh, let's look back at the failure that was the, yeah, United States of Al. And it's weird that I'm like, shit, what year is it? It's 2021, the show's coming out. And, you know, this is what Chuck Lorre is doing again. Granted, whether you liked Two and a Half Men or Big Bang Theory, those shows were very much defining for sitcoms in the 2000s.
Yeah, exactly.
They were very successful shows. And you see this, and you're just like, what the fuck is this? And it's just like, for all the reasons you said in Morshe, it's like what are these jokes? These are literally like early 2000s, like, oh, he's homophobic because he's kissing him on two cheeks. Yeah. Like, why, Dean Norris, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
You got Breaking Bad money, man. Why are you doing this show?
Yeah, the homophobia too. I totally forgot to mention that part. But you know, yes, there's that,
like,
too.
What are you doing? It's such a strange, like, you know, we've spoken before about like how we see a lot of, there could be a lot of content from the States. And obviously, like, Canada, we're I love being in Canada. We're very proud of our country, but we're also not like, sometimes I think the stereotype with the States is that it's super patriotic, stuff like that.
They fetishize their military,
right? And I think this is a show that kind of does that, and it just made me a little uncomfortable watching. Mm-hmm. And that's just me as like a white dude watching this, you know, like even as like, dude, you know, my parents were, you know, like our, like Anthony, like, and our parents were immigrants to this country. We're first generation here. And it made us uncomfortable. And it's just, I'm just really curious to see if the show, how it's recepted, moving forward. Cause it doesn't look good.
Yeah. The show is made for a specific audience. Clearly it's made for white people. And if no one wants to say it, I'll say it.
It is.
It's literally made for white people.
Yeah. To have like, like, let's have one. It's okay. Like, yeah, we have a brown friend. Yeah. Like,
you know, like, it was super weird watching it. I know. I think I remember Shay posting it on Twitter and me watching. I'm like, who the fuck is watching this?
Yeah.
Like, it's so poorly made.
Yeah.
It's not funny. And then again, I'm not a fan of Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
Or
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, because I don't think they were great shows, even though they might have been great shows in of certain niche audiences' eyes. Right. Maybe they had funny content. I just never
But they were popular. They shows were popular, in the States, right?
But I think they were popular because white people watched it,
right?
And I think this is where they're trying to kind of get that trend, continue that narrative. It's shocking to me that this is coming out, and I'm like, wow. And hearing you, Shay, talk about it, how offended you were about it, it pisses me off even more, because I'm like,
you.
I feel bad that that's how you feel, because, you know, when a show affects someone like that, that's super, super, like, it's incomprehensible on what it can do to someone. And I feel bad that, you know, you had to watch it and feel that way.
I think I may watch the pilot just to you know, put it to the grave that I wanted to.
Yeah, you're gonna hate watching it.
Yeah, just to, well, you know what? I'll try my best to obviously watch it with an open mind. But this actor here, Adir Kalyan, the guy who plays Al. I think back to, I remember there was an article, and I'm probably gonna butcher it, but Riz Ahmed talked about how he didn't want to be cast anymore as the typical brown man or the stereotypical terrorist or et cetera, and not use his color to his identity. And I appreciated that, because, yes, whenever you watch movies and TV shows and you always see that the brown character, they're always just like, they've always got some really far out weird name or like the most white name imaginable. And
Rami Malek said that too.
Rami Malek also said that too.
Rami was like, he's like, he doesn't want to play any more characters that are,
which is good,
like considered like either just like terrorists or things like that too. I mean, there's a lot of, was it Naomi Harris, I believe too.
Yeah.
Who has gone on record saying like she didn't want to play a character like that in like Moonlight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she did it because she understood the script, but like she didn't want to play these like, yes, almost like destructive characters. Correct. Right?
Yeah. That harm the image that we already kind of have. And, you know, I don't know why this guy did it. He's been in a lot of stuff. I've seen him so many times. Up in the Air, Paul Blart, Youth in Revolt. He's been in a bunch of movies. And fuck you too. Like, why would you pick this acting role? Like, why? I'm sorry. I know times are tough, but you have to realize the image that you're trying to give. And again, I will watch the first episode to see if the trailer is painted one way and the show is painted another, to pass my judgment. I doubt it.
What's the word? Sometimes, what's the word that we give? I can't think of the word.
What's it to describe, though?
When you're trying to pat yourself on the back. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how it's coming across. It's like, you know, white people just try, oh, yeah, we have...
Look, we're doing a show about this character.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Humble brag. Is it humble brag?
It's kind of like almost like, look how progressive we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? But you're still, it's super wrong.
Yeah, it's made, and like every character in the show seems super racist, by the way, and they don't really seem like the kind of people that would have an Afghani person living in their house. The jokes that they're making, like, I didn't see any culture in this show other than the American culture that we see portrayed so often.
Yeah, it's just furthering the stereotype of like, oh, look at these. Like, it's just almost just like, oh, it's like this show's trying to be like, yeah, look, they're not so different from us after all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, it's just strange. And like, and what you said, Shay, like the accent that he does too, and like the fact that he's like sassy and stuff like that. It's just like, it's just very peculiar take on this. And
it's also very low hanging fruit humor.
Oh, it literally looks like an SNL sketch from like 20 years ago.
Or actually, like now almost. You know? Some SNL sketches now are rough. But let's jump into what's out this week. We got Godzilla vs. Kong. This is finally announced for Canada for PVOD. Super excited about that because we just kept getting told theaters and theaters, theaters. And I think the closest theater to us that's going to be open is like an hour away.
Yeah.
Or a drive-in.
Or a drive-in, which is not my preferred method to watch a movie for the first time.
Yeah, considering how our weather here doesn't cooperate that all that often.
Right. And I mean, again, I like drive-ins, but yeah. I'm also like, I want to watch this with the best screen or best sound possible, right? It's Godzilla versus Kong. If anything, you want to enjoy the spectacle of it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And then we got The Unholy from Sony, which is a Sam Raimi produced film. So we'll have a review, hopefully, for that this week as well.
Yeah, this Thursday, I believe, we'll have a review up for that.
Even better.
One quick thing I want to talk about with you guys before we got to what we're watching. Yeah. Godzilla vs. Kong is actually getting pretty decent reviews.
Yes.
But it is getting review bombed on IMDb and other services because there's a lot of people out there who believe that
This is your United States of Al moment.
This is right my pass the mic. No, this is the thing. There's a lot of people out there that I think with us, I think when it comes to the Zack Snyder Justice League, we are so happy that we got to watch it. Mm-hmm. We're so happy that it exists. We liked it.
Yeah.
But also there's a very loud group right now on the internet that is, you know, trying to hashtag restore the Snyderverse, which I think for us, like, I'd be cool to see what happens next in his world, for sure.
Yeah.
We want that. But we're also not, and when we came to the Snyder Cut, we liked seeing that. We spoke up. They were like, yeah, we'd love to see this. But we weren't harassing people. You know, we weren't being super toxic and like kind of just spewing hate online. Where now what we're seeing on Godzilla vs. Kong, when I was on IMDb looking at reviews, I was like, why are they all these 1 out of 10s? And there were so many 1 out of 10s because all these people are doing is, you know, restore the Snyderverse, Warner Brothers, restore the Snyderverse. And they're attacking other movies now. You go to Warner Brothers on any social media feed now, and it could be a movie, it could be nothing about Batman vs. Superman or Justice League or whatever. And it's just hundreds of thousands of tweets just hashtag restore the Snyderverse. And I get it. That's how you're getting your attention. But you could continue to do that, sure. But you're also attacking a studio that, one, gave you the movie that you wanted and you fought for so long. They didn't have to promise you anything more. They fulfilled the promise of, this is something Zack made and we saw it to fruition and we let him finish his cut. Great. And now it just reminds me of one of those things like, yeah, if you give an inch, they're going to take a mile. And that's what's happening right now. And it sucks to see that. Again, we'd love to see the Snyderverse. We'd love to see what comes next in Justice League. But at the end of the day, it wasn't working for Warner Brothers.
No.
They weren't making the money they wanted to. They weren't getting the critical reception that they wanted to. And now, well, here we are. We got Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's pretty much universally like getting thumbs up from people saying, yes, it makes sense. It's a movie we like. But I don't think general audiences are anywhere like, yes, this is the 4-hour movie that we love. It's just like, yes, it makes sense now. It's quote unquote good, but it's not where we want to continue our universe building. And I don't agree with people bashing other films because of it or attacking Warner Brothers because they want more of it. They don't owe you that. Yeah. They don't owe you that.
It's pretty toxic.
Right?
Extremely. But, you know, they'll say, I keep hearing, let's unsubscribe from HBO Max. And this is how we teach them a lesson.
No!
For those who are doing this, you need to find something in your life that really
fulfills you
because this is not it. Zack Snyder is not that fulfillment. And Zack Snyder's vision of the DC universe shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
It's super crazy. And now it's getting to a point where, wow, like I get the idea. He had this movie. Let's get it out. We got it out. It happened. But now, to the point where you're sabotaging other films,
right,
for your gain of this movie universe that you want to see. Zack needs to make a statement. He needs to make a statement as someone who's as a fellow filmmaker for these movies. He has to say, I don't want to make them anymore, or B, stop commenting on them. It's not right. This is not how studios can't be bullied into making films for the audience like this.
Right.
And I, as a director, wouldn't want to make a movie now because of this.
It's a dangerous slope, and I think this is what we spoke about when the Snyder Cut was confirmed to be happening. Like, okay, this campaign worked, and a lot of people were just like, oh God, like, they gave in to the demands, and it's always going to lead to, you know, it's always going to lead to more.
They always said that, you know, they did good by, you know, putting money into suicide prevention.
Yeah.
But there was a toxicity still behind this.
Sure.
That's like, you know, the like Nazis putting into a certain, you know, pot just to get something out of it. It just didn't feel right, man.
It doesn't make sense when you know, you're in the Snyder community and you're saying, yeah, we want to donate money to, you know, suicide prevention, but also Anna Sernoff, kill yourself. Like,
you're like, hold on now.
Wait.
This is... I'll be honest, that's a little bit of a conflicting message.
Right. What you're saying there is you wish harm upon people, yet you're like, no, but I'm donating money to... That's like saying, I can say this word because I have a black friend. No, yeah. Right, I can say it.
Like, no.
And honestly, I've seen people like post like the review from Rotten Tomatoes, like, look, 95% audience score. I don't believe that. And the reason why I don't believe that is because the same shitty people that are review bombing will obviously be giving 10 out of 10s no matter what. People are giving 20 out of 10s out there, Daniel.
Right.
Are you fucking stupid?
And that's the thing, right? We are Zack Snyder fans.
Huge.
I really like Zack Snyder. I have a poster of his Watchmen film on my wall. I have a poster of Batman and Superman from Batman vs. Superman. I like his movies.
We've given positive reviews to his movies.
You know, we've been vocal about...
You're wearing a Zack Snyder
the Justice League shirt right now. I didn't realize that Zack Snyder threw up on me before I started working on this.
You're an associate producer.
You know? But don't be a toxic asshole. It goes back to what we were saying last week. I don't know what we were talking about last week that I was saying, don't be an asshole.
Well, it's just like every day.
Don't be an asshole. Yeah. And I think there are so many people who are doing that right now, and it sucks. Maybe this meant, like, us talking about it, And here's the thing. It sucks when it starts to like affect you, mm-hmm. where you're like, yeah, I like Justice League Snyder Cut, but you also don't want to like, I'm also like a little worried tweeting about it and talking about it because you don't want people to associate you with that. Yeah, and it sucks that it does that. Like, we should be able to celebrate a movie, but because of the perception of this negative group of people do, it makes you not want to like associate yourself with that, you know? And it sucks.
I wish IMDb would go and remove all the... Like right now, when you go to the Godzilla vs. Kong IMDb page, you really have to do a couple of clicks to finally get to the Restore the Snyderverse ones, because they have all the positive Godzilla vs. Kong and all the relevant ones on top. And then when you go sort by not relevant and then you sort by lowest vote, then you'll see all the Restore the Snyderverse, blah, 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 blah. And it's like... Why Zach, are you going
to
go?
Zach needs to say something. He has to say something. It's like a president. You have to say something or they'll just keep doing it.
Right.
So if you don't...
He's afraid of alienating his fans, you know, which sucks to say. I'm sorry. It sucks to say that.
But like, as a filmmaker, like, I wouldn't want the fans from my movie hurting another movie for this franchise to happen.
I agree.
It's not right.
No.
Also, what was crazy about you sent a tweet yesterday about Ray Fisher wanting to do a sequel. He's open to it, which is super strange coming from him.
His NDA is up as well now.
Yeah. So he'll probably start like
a tell-all. Hopefully, he's on Oprah's show. You know, like Prince William.
It's just a very messy situation. I think Warner Brothers was very smart to release the Suicide Squad trailer this week because that's all I've been seeing up on my feed. But yeah, it's like, listen, Warner Brothers has moved. They've said Justice League 2017 is their canon version of the movie.
Sounds good.
They're done. And Sernoff came out with this in this last week saying, you know what? Thank you for the support, but we're moving on. And
It's just it's very disheartening that when you follow Warner Brothers Canada, Warner Brothers US, on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you kind of go, and you just click on comments for whatever they're posting.
You just want to see. It's just people berating them. Like you just want to see, like, oh, what are people saying about Godzilla versus Kong? And then you're just scrolling forever, saying, "Yo, F you, Warner Brothers, restore this." Like, stop. Like,
go kill yourself.
It's like stop. Why? That's not what. Like that. No.
Why are you the way you are?
And like, and it's stuff like that.
They have nothing in their life.
And I think
right now they have nothing.
I think it's stuff like that we're going to start to see almost like censorship be introduced on, like this. Like, I don't know. Maybe like Warner Brothers has a way of blocking that comment from showing up on their feed, right? I know Facebook has that, where like if you type certain words, the comment will be posted. Like maybe they'll come up with algorithms that like stop that hashtag from showing up. Yeah. And like, and that's what's a dangerous slope, because people are abusing the system this way right now.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I really hope Godzilla vs. Kong is good.
that's what we're trying to get to. Yeah. What are we watching? Anthony, let's start off with you.
This week, continuing with Stanley Tucci's Searching for Italy. This week was, he was in Sicily. Oh. It was really, really nice. Beautiful,
beautiful.
Beautiful food, beautiful scenery. It's crazy to talk about the history in Italy and these buildings that are thousands of years old and people just living in them, and just in different caste systems. Also,
how was he not voted the sexiest bald man this week? How was it Prince William?
Yeah. Like, oh, because I don't know, man.
Stanley Tucci's out there in the world. Come on.
100%. And he's married to Emily Blunt's sister, which was
crazy. Yes, he is.
Pretty cool. Watch The Stand, which is an Amazon Prime miniseries based on a Stephen King book. My review for that is skip it. It was actually really boring and bad. Mm. Great cast. Had an interesting, you know, premise where a weaponized virus has pretty much wiped out the world except for certain people, and they kind of come together to live, and there's some form of good versus evil behind this whole premise of this weaponized pandemic, but it just wasn't good. It was actually pretty boring, and the ending was actually pretty trash.
And it was Stephen King.
Well, right? this was one of his earlier books. I want to say his sixth book from his bibliography, but just the ending. The characters, I was just wondering, like, why am I investing my time in these characters? Because they're just not interesting enough. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I put on Hellstorm because it was on Disney Star, and that's a Marvel series, but it's not a Marvel series. It's based on two characters from the Marvel Universe, which is Anna Hellstorm and Damon Hellstorm, who are son and daughter of a demon.
Oh, thank God they're related, because imagine they weren't related with that last name. Oh,
what a coincidence.
They're connected to the whole, like, Doctor Strange, right, and Ghost Rider. You know, the
they're like the Osmonds, I believe, right? Donnie and Marie.
Kinda.
Why would you bring the Osmonds?
They're the underworld.
The underworld,
the Marvel Universe. Yeah. The scary, the horror-ish part of the Marvel Universe. But this series was not scary at all. It's produced by Jeff Loeb, I think this was his last
Marvel show.
Marvel live action show. Mm-hmm. I think he only has two more. I think MODOK, he's executive producing.
Yeah, the animated show.
And then another one. It was so strange because these characters are Marvel characters. They have these Marvel powers, but you know, when the show opens, there's no Marvel bumper.
No, they're not. Nothing it's indicating not MCU, that
it's
right?
not MCU. And it felt like a Jeff Loeb TV series. Felt very similar to stuff that he did with Netflix. It's just boring and and not interesting, and very grounded in terms of production value. Just didn't seem like, oh, this guy's the son of Satan. This is the daughter of Satan. They're like pretty powerful people. Right. They're just humans. They're just humans, and they have some powers. It almost felt cheapy at points, and then later found out that it was canceled in December. It came out in October 2020 and was canceled December 2020.
Nice.
So I would skip that if you see that on Star, Disney Star. And then I put on Succession because I was trying to find something to watch and
something to just make you feel something, right?
Yeah, and it was hard. There was not a lot because I watched Mighty Ducks, all three episodes. Falcon, watched that. I'm like, what else is there to watch? I watched all these series. Let me go to Succession because it's so well written.
You're revisiting it, right?
And revisiting it. Season two specifically. Hopefully we get a season three very shortly. I'm looking forward to a trailer. I know they've been filming. It was supposed to come out in 2020, but during the pandemic, it caused a lot of delays. So hopefully that's done. It's such a well-written show, and it's such a crazy family. If you want to watch a really great dynamic and great characters, watch Succession.
Okay.
Especially Brian Cox.
Brian Cox, man.
He's
Wolverine.
Wolverine, yeah, but he plays this, you know, billionaire conglomerate, news mogul, movie mogul. He's like the, who's the guy who owns Fox?
Richard, who died, right?
He didn't die.
The guy,
Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch.
Like, take that family.
Yeah.
That dynamic that they're literally, these kids are trying to get to who's going to be the successor to this multi-billion company and how they throw money and how they deal with things. They're not normal people, and how they just view us as normal people and how we get along with our lives, and how it's just crazy, and it's so well written, and it's so good. So I encourage you to watch that. It's on Crave.
Cool.
And watch season one if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, I like season one. I enjoyed half of it.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah, that's all I've been watching.
What about you, Daniel?
I watched The Courier. So literally right after we finished recording last week.
After I gave my very short review on it.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, don't watch it. Yeah. I think it starts off interesting. Mm-hmm. I liked the start of it. And then I just... It's a 2-hour movie, but it feels really long.
Very long.
Right? I was like, man, right when I thought it was ending, I'm like, oh, shoot, there's still like 45 minutes left. Yep. This is crazy. Finally watched The Vow, which is an HBO documentary series about this cult, which I forget the name of the cult now, but it's been in the news a lot, especially because, you know, there's a lot of celebrities part of it. And Allison Mack, especially, who was somebody who I grew up loving on Smallville, was a key figure in it, which sucks to see that, and all the lives that they kind of really destroyed in that. But it's a really well-made documentary. Definitely check it out if you have Crave or HBO Max or wherever you have HBO content in your country. Of course, the Mighty Ducks, I watched all three of them because we were anticipating the new show. Also watched the new show. The Black Widow news made me really want to go back and watch Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, like, I really love Iron Man 2 as much of a filler as it could be sometimes for, you know, for the Avengers. I think there's such great character moments in that movie and just generally really funny moments and great action as well too. I think the Monaco scene especially is a great sequence. And I love the sequence at the end too, where they're all fighting in the
Zen Garden?
Yeah, the Zen Garden, and it was a for like I forget the name of the company. That's like sponsors it.
I don't know.
Was it Orion? Not Orion. Whatever the name of the company is. It's a cool sequence, and that scene was actually storyboarded by some of the story artists who did what's the one that Samuel L. Jackson does the voice actor for? The Samurai one. Samurai Jack, is it? The show? Do you guys remember that show?
I don't remember Samuel Jackson.
Was it Samuel Jackson who did the voice for him?
I don't think so.
I'll
look it up.
Well, Samurai Jack, I believe, like, the storyboard artist who did that, did the sequence, and that's such a cool sequence too. War Machine and Iron Man are just fighting with one another. Really, really cool. Put on Godzilla 1998. What an awful movie. I rewatched it, and I haven't seen it in years, like in maybe 15 years. And I watched this, I'm like, this movie's terrible. And like, I was like nostalgic for it too, because like Matthew Broderick and everything, but. Like, shit, man. Like, it made me think fondly upon King of the Monsters somehow.
Mm.
Which I'm going to watch, I think, tonight before Godzilla vs. Kong.
They should have done that film all at night.
Which one?
Godzilla.
King of the Monsters?
No, the 98 Godzilla.
The 98 Godzilla, yeah.
I think the Godzilla looked better at night than it did during the day, especially with rain.
Yeah, because he looked one super CG. Like, he looked like jarringly like cartoons. And like even the way he's animated almost looks like, were they trying to do like stop motion? Yeah. And he looks like a dinosaur too.
Like an iguana, actually. Yeah. More and like then an iguana.
The story with Matthew Broderick's character, the worm guy.
Oh, it's such super... a stupid movie. Yeah. I think for me, I don't love it or anything, but it just has a special place in my heart. But I'm
Samurai Jack.
But it holds this place in my heart where I'm like, oh yeah, this movie, I'll never watch it again for like years to come probably. But it's god awful. But there's just something so stupid about it that I can't look away. But it's very slow.
It had really good marketing.
For sure. And I remember seeing it in a drive-in as well, too.
The success after Independence Day? Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then Roland Emmerich has gone on to say, like, yeah, we messed up that one. We've messed up that
one. Yeah.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, of course, phenomenal show. Check out our discussions. We'll have discussions on it every single Friday. And Shay, off your recommendation, I started Hate Thy Neighbor.
What'd you think?
Watched the first episode and, you know, I was just...
You hated that neighbor.
Oh my God. I think watching a show that portrays racism and just, not even just racism, just like hateful people. Mm. And Jamali, when he's talking to these people, just how casual they are about like hating. Yeah. You know, we hate black people. We would have hated you. Like, we hated this. And you're just like, what the fuck? Like, I was watching with my mom, and my mom's face the whole time was just like, my mom was just like, is this real? Like, this is a real, this isn't fake. I'm like, no, mom, this is real. Yeah. It's real. This is real people.
I remember in episode one, the craziest thing to me was that the guy that they're talking to, and then obviously the church, he goes to the pastor who has two black daughters. He's white, but he has two adopted black daughters. And then Jamali asked him, like, so how do you really feel about, you know, this guy who says he's like your best friend, technically hates your daughters? And he's just like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. And I'm like, listen, man, I get you're a pastor or preacher, but what?
I was dying of laughter when Jamali was like, because it's intercut with him doing stand-up.
Yes.
Which I found a little jarring at first.
I find it jarring, yeah.
But then there was some like funny things that he would say. That he's like, they were doing like a, they don't like calling it a cross burning, right? Yeah. They like calling it lighting, right? As he was saying, but he wasn't, they basically told him like these white supremacists, they're like, yeah, you got to stay on this side. And then there's a KKK bar. And he's like, yeah, that KKK bar owner came up to me and he said like, he's like, no, we hate black people, but everybody's welcome in the bar. And he's like, but what do you mean by this? Like, it's just so.
But they allowed his film crew to go in.
Yeah.
And his film crew is all Jewish.
Yeah.
And they were just, and then you hear the audio playing back, and then they're like listening, and they're like, they're just making fun of Jews and everything, and the Jewish were just like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. It
must be scary for them.
Yeah.
To be in a situation like that. Like, that's super scary for me if I was in a situation where I'm not liked for just being me.
That's how I feel when I'm filming
stuff. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, but we actively make you try and feel that way, though.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, it must be scary. It's kind of like being in a war zone.
You know? Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, like, it's just the casualness of it is what frightens me and makes me uncomfortable. But I'm excited to continue watching the show as well, too, to see where it goes from here. And yeah, I mean, it's been very interesting to see that.
Yeah.
Shay, what about you? Take us home.
I put on Superman Returns for about 5 minutes, and then I was like, oh, I hate this movie so much. I just couldn't do it. I there's something so, like, pretentious about it. I think, like, Bryan Singer wanting to be like, no, I can make a Richard Donner film. And it just, I didn't like it. It didn't sit well with me. So then I put on Volcano instead, which is the obvious pivot
to me. Yes, of course.
I think it was on Star, that's why. So,
but didn't you watch Volcano, like, 2 weeks ago or something?
I watched it on March 20th.
Yeah, see? You got problems.
Why'd you watch Volcano again?
No, I watched it on March 20th.
But that's over a week ago.
Yeah, we recorded last Saturday morning.
Yeah, but...
Oh.
But no, man. You watched Volcano in February, January, December.
Volcano fan best number movie. One over here.
Best director.
Best actor, Tom Lee Jones.
I remember Shay saying, I watched Volcano... And I loved it, and it was in February.
I don't think I watched it in February, though. Haven't watched it in February because I didn't have it, and Star wasn't out.
No, you found it. You went. I went
and I bought it.
You bought Volcano.
I bought it. I went to a Blockbuster, and I took it off the shelf. No, I haven't seen Volcano since years, so I just decided to put it on. It's such a silly movie. It's so stupid. Like, it's such a dumb movie. Like, a volcano in Los Angeles.
In the middle of
Los
Angeles?
Yeah, there's all these, like, random, like, actors that you'll see from the 90s kind of pop in and out. And you're like, Don Cheadle's in the movie, you know?
Sure, why not?
It's just such a dumb movie, but it's so fun to watch. And also, lava moves pretty slow. So when you're running from it, you're kind of like, really? You can't get... I remember there's a scene where he has to jump over the lava, yet there's all this free space beside him. But he does it, and I still don't know why he did it. Like, I watched this movie, and I was like, well, he could have just walked around it. He didn't have to. But they made it such an action moment that I'm like...
The floor is lava, man. The floor is
lava.
I'm
like, sure, why not? He's like holding his daughter. He's like, we gotta do this.
Throws her in the lava. Why?
So, yeah, that movie was, yeah, it's just fun. Continuing with the MCU, watched Black Panther and watched Avengers Infinity War with my girlfriend. She loved Infinity War, as one should. I you know what? I haven't seen Infinity War in a little while because I've been watching more Endgame, I think. But man, it was so funny and so good.
Awesome. I think it's the best Captain America sequence.
Which one?
In the subway.
Oh, when he's coming and you hear that music coming in and it's like a more powerful version.
He grabs that trident thing. Oh. She throws it. It was so good. And he has the long
Groot,
hair.
When he talks to Groot and he's like, I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
It's so funny, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah,
fuck you, Anthony.
Oh, wow. Great. The MCU again. What a fantastic gift. What a gift.
Yeah. Watched Ratatouille. I haven't seen... This used to be one of my least favorite...
What made you put on Ratatouille?
Not much, really. It was just my girlfriend saying, hey, I really want to watch Ratatouille. And I'm like...
I'm in the mood for rats.
She's like, your friend Daniel?
Rats.
He's a rat. And I'm like, all right. It's one of my least watched Pixar films. I didn't like it when I first watched it.
You haven't watched The Good Dinosaur yet, so I would still say that's your least watched.
I'll save it for that. I'll save it for that. But watching it again, I really, really liked it. I really appreciated it more. I think I see where Brad Bird was trying to do with this film, so I really had a good time with it. I think as an adult, I appreciate it more too. So really good movie. Watched all three Mighty Ducks, plus the Game Changers show. I love the Mighty Ducks movies, but I hadn't gone back to Mighty Ducks 3 in forever, so it was interesting going back to that film and still not liking it.
it's very different.
Very different film. Just very annoying. And I think they for some reason, are portrayed dumber in the film and more silly. And I'm like, these kids were a lot smarter in part 1 and 2, so why are they so dumb in this one? Falcon the Winter Soldier, of course, and Godzilla. I watched
Superstore. Forgot to put Superstore as well.
Finished the series. The series finale happened. We'll talk about it in a second. I just wanted to talk about French Exit, which I watched with Michelle Pfeiffer and Lucas Hedges. What a weird movie. I don't know if you guys have watched it yet, but
it is.
I can't recommend it, really. It's really weird. It starts off kind of nice, but then it dives into this supernatural-esque element that I was like, this is... not fun anymore. So I didn't really like it. I can't recommend it. And yeah, Daniel, you and I watched the series finale of Superstore. What did you think of part 1 and 2?
Here's the thing with Superstore. I think Superstore is a really fun show, especially the earlier seasons, because it's like, you know, we all have retail experience and, you know, seeing those jokes, it's funny. I never thought, you know, Amy and Jonah were the strongest leads for the show or to center, I guess, a romantic relationship around. And not to get too bogged down on the finales, but Amy's return, I thought, was just very anticlimactic.
Super.
And then the ending just is so fast, where it just kind of jump cuts. So, like, you know, everybody's happy. And, like, it's nice to have a nice send-off to characters, but it also just didn't feel earned either.
No.
It felt like they were rushed. Very. And I would have preferred the show to end season 5, because it felt like more of
a proper ending.
More of a closure. Then have like this weird in between half season that, you know, we're focusing on other characters and it's very strange. And there's some like de-aging that happens too that I was just like, when I saw Che, I messaged you and I was just like, yeah, get ready for some de-aging. And you're just like, oh my God, looks worse than like deepfakes that we see online.
I screamed in my room. And my family called the police, and the police came, and they saw, and then they were like...
And they screamed, too.
They arrested the creators of the show.
They took your TV away.
Yeah, they took my TV away, and my PlayStation. I don't know why.
It's hard to get. Hard to find.
They were like, we need to sell this. But, man, you know, I really enjoyed Superstore. It's funny, because it just came out on Netflix, and I feel like in 3 months, we watched it and ended it, the show. So, it was kind of sad, but... Man, I've never disliked two main characters of a show more than Amy and Jonah. I think there's absolutely zero chemistry. They're not fun. They're not funny at all. They destroy so much of the good parts of the show. Cheyenne is fantastic.
Garrett, Dina.
Garrett is fantastic. Dina, who's the
manager?
Manager, man.
Glenn! This is Glenn!
And I love Sandra, too. I think they're all such phenomenal characters. And if the show just kind of focused in on them, I would have had a much better time.
Yeah. But that was my Glenn impression, eh? It was pretty good, right?
I thought those were Garrett impressions.
No, this is my Jason Momoa accent.
Oh!
Don't count on it, Batman! Yeah. Dresses like a bat.
Yeah, but sad to see it go. I think the show could have had more leg if, you know, maybe they also moved Jonah off the show.
I think if it came on Netflix sooner.
Yes.
You know, because I feel like this is the most we've ever seen people talk about Superstore in the last few months, you know?
It was on Prime Video for so long and no one really goes to Prime Video. But yeah, sad to see it go, but whatever, it has life. So that pretty much brings us to the end of this wonderful episode. This is probably one of the best episodes that we've ever, ever done.
I can't think of any episode that has topped this.
Never.
With this one,
one we just did right now.
Oh.
Anthony's like, really?
Was I here?
I don't know, man.
You didn't like it?
I stuttered a lot, so.
What did you say?
I stuttered a lot.
I didn't think you did.
I didn't think you did either.
It's okay.
I don't think you did at all. I think you're just in your zone right now for some reason, but you're good.
You were great.
I think this episode, you shine like a bright diamond.
Yeah.
Oh, Rihanna, eh?
Yeah. Oh, you knew the reference. Good. Guys, again, of course, we're on a mission to hit 200 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. So please go ahead and give us some love on there. Let us know what we love about the show. Follow us at The Movie Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, and make sure to let us know what you're watching and what else you want to see on the show. Again, keep an eye out on our feed for all the reviews and shows coming out. Again, next week we are off for our main episode, but we'll still have some things sprinkled in there.
Oh, yeah. There'll be lots of reviews and stuff coming out this week and next. So make sure you're staying tuned for that.
We're getting closer and closer to our 100th episode, too. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a bonanza, as they say in the business. Do they say that in the business?
They do now. We're going to make them start saying
We're going to start staying in the business. Of course, that was This Time with the Movie Podcast.
And we'll see you next.